Pastimes, their own pastimes and pastimes or activities, actually for materialists it's not pastimes, they're just activities. So people are discussing about their own activities and activities of their friends, relatives, and they can speak whole day actually. Many people are very talkative and they just speak whole day. So there are so many subjects to speak about, on even on material platform. So what to speak about the spiritual platform? In second canto, in the beginning, Shukdev Goswami starts speaking. In the first canto, it's only described about the appearance of Shukdev Goswami. And there's a discussion between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. But Shukdev Goswami, as soon as he starts speaking, he says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. So he says that actually people have so many topics to discuss. Sahasrasha, Sahasra means thousand. So he says thousands of topics to speak about. But they are Griha Medis, Griheshu Griha Medinam. And they don't see the Atma Tattva, the real Tattva of the self or the soul. So that's the difference. So what are these materialists talking about? Talking about their selves, talking about their house, household activities, their friends, their work. And everything is on material platform. So Griheshu Griha Medinam. So the word Griha means a place where you live. So our real identity is that we are the soul. And where does the soul live? Soul lives first of all in the body. So that's, body is also considered Griha, or the house, or the place of residence. And then the body lives in a house. And then the house is within that society. And then within that, sorry, community, then society, then the nation. So any topic related to body, related to your house, household affairs, related to your country, it's all material and it relates to Griha. So that's what Shukdev Goswami is mentioning. Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. So these people, materialists, are only talking about the external Griha or house or the place where they live. And they are not understanding Atma Tattva. They are not talking about the person who is residing in those houses. So how strange. Because of course house is important, but more important is the person living in the house. Because houses change. People move houses. In USA we see many people just move houses. In one lifetime they move many houses, 3, 4, 5 times, because they get bored in one house. They want house next to the beach. Then they want to live in an apartment on very high story somewhere in the city. Then they want to live in the mountains. Then they want to live in the farm. And many people have 2 or 3 houses in different locations with different background scenery, because they get bored. And the reason they are getting bored is because apashyatam atma tattvam. They are not seeing the spiritual tattva or the spiritual fact that we are spirit souls. And we won't be we'll not be satisfied unless we assist Lord in his pastimes. Soul is coming from the super soul or Krishna, and when we start assisting Lord in his pastimes, then we'll stop talking about our own so-called pastimes. And it's very important, because today we have Jhulan Yatra starting in the evening. And this festival is mainly, we have to understand that we are assisting Lord in his pastimes. So Lord Radha, Chota Radha, Krishna will be on the swing and we'll be pushed. That it means we are assisting in his pastimes. So here, in today's verse, Lord Bor is referred to as Yajna Ishwar, master of all sacrifices. So everyone is making some sacrifice, either for himself or for people who are related to him, or her. But these sacrifices don't satisfy us because they are not for the Supreme Lord. Another name of Lord is Yajna, and even Yajneshwar, master of sacrifices. So we have to do all our activities for the pleasure of Lord. If we don't do that, we won't be satisfied and happy. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yajna tat karmano nyantra lokoyam karma bandana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. That if you do work as a sacrifice for Vishnu or Krishna, then you will get free from all bondage. But if you sacrifice any activity for your own purpose, then you will be bound in this material world. So that's why people are working so hard to get satisfaction, and they are sacrificing their efforts, their time, their money, and their consciousness. They are absorbing their consciousness in those efforts, but ultimately they are not satisfied. It's just like an example given in Bhagavatam is of caterpillar. The small worm, it binds itself into a cocoon and gets trapped within it. So in the same way, all the people are doing so many activities, and these activities bind them and they don't know how to get out of it. But Krishna is helping us by giving his instructions in these scriptures. Yajna tat karmano nyatra. He says, just you work, of course you have to work, you have inclination to work in different ways, but you, in the beginning, you start sacrificing the result for me. And then we can see how we will get satisfaction ultimately by satisfying Krishna. Because we are Krishna's parts, if we satisfy Krishna, if we satisfy the whole, the parts will get satisfied automatically. So this pastime of Lord Bhor is very interesting. So here we see in today's verse, the Lord dived in the middle of the ocean like a great mountain. And the ocean, the waves of ocean were just like two arms praying to the Lord. In a similar pastime, which is mentioned in 9th canto, it's the pastime of Lord Ramachandra. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, then Lord Ramachandra made friends with Sugriva and all the monkeys, and he formed an army and he went on the shore of the ocean. So he wanted to cross the ocean to get to Lanka and then get Mother Sita back. Then when he reached the shore of the ocean, he fasted for 3 days and he wanted to see the personality of ocean, personified ocean or samudra. But he didn't come for 3 days. So Lord got very angry and he just gazed at the ocean with his angry eyes, and all the aquatics in the ocean, they got very fearful. And then the personified ocean came with all the paraphernalia on his head. He came and he worshipped the Lord and he prayed to the Lord. So in that prayer, the personified ocean, he said that we living entities are jada dhiya. Jada means dull. We are very dull, just like an animal. And it is said, unless and until you punish or beat an animal, it won't follow you. That's why when you see in the horse cart, or you know, you have to control some animal, like in a horse cart, the person who is riding it, he has a whip. He doesn't say, oh horsey, please go this way. No, he won't. The animal won't listen. So he whips, and then he does whatever, you know, the master says. So this is the difference between humans and animals. Animals need to be corrected and punished, and then they start acting properly. So in that purport, Prabhupada mentions one small stanza by a Hindi poet, Actually, if you see in the whole Bhagavatam, you just see these English translations of Prabhupada and what other languages we see. We have Sanskrit, and mostly Prabhupada mentions Bengali proverbs, songs, like that. But I think this is the only place where I don't remember seeing any other place he quotes a Hindi stanza. So there it says, and I liked it, I was reading because that's my mother language. So Prabhupada says, Dukh se sab hari bhaje, sukh se bhaje na koi. Sukh se agar hari bhaje, dukh kahan se hoi. What it means is, when you get distressed, then you pray to the Lord. When you are punished by material nature, you get kicks and slaps by the material energy, then you say, oh Krishna, help me. So what this poet says that, if you worship Krishna in your happy times, then there won't be any misery at all. Because you will get habituated to see the face of Krishna and worship Krishna. And seeing the face of Krishna is the greatest happiness. That's what Kunti Maharani also prays. She says, Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam syat apunar bhava darshanam. That let these calamities come again and again to me. So what she feels that these material problems are not problems, because whenever these material problems came to them, Krishna was there to help them. And they were watching Krishna's face, beautiful face. And they were very happy. So those material problems were not problems for them. So that's a devotee. Devotee just prays for devotional service and in the association of devotees. And if he is engaged in devotional service, he is actually seeing Krishna all the time. And then there is no misery. Material miseries have to come anyway. But the devotee doesn't feel that they are real miseries. Doesn't matter who you are, you have to go through birth, death, disease and old age. So a child, when he or she is in the womb, there is suffering in the womb. So Prabhupada writes somewhere that if, when a child is in a womb, it doesn't matter if the mother is rich or poor, white or black, you know, tall or you know, short, ugly or beautiful, the child in the womb will go through the misery. Doesn't matter. And when the child comes out, he or she has to go through old age, disease, and then ultimately death. So it doesn't matter. So these miseries will come. But the difference is in the how we respond to the miseries. So I want to discuss four different responses that we can have. So first response is of, we want to discuss about the sinful materialists. Materialist means sinful, we don't have to put that, it's extra. One who is materialist means he is only dealing with matter and he is bound to perform sins. So materialist thinks about his own satisfaction and his senses are not controlled. He is thinking, I am the body and that's all, and body means the senses and I have to satisfy the senses, so I engage in the sense gratification, however it comes, and meanwhile he performs many sins. So Prahlad Maharaj actually recognizes that. He says, Adant Gobir Vishatam Tamisram, that these people who are performing these sins because of uncontrolled senses, they go to the hell and then they chew what is already being chewed. Matir na Krishna parato svatova mitho vipadyeta griha vratanam adant gobir vishatam tamisram puna puna charvita charvananam. So he says, these people who don't have controlled senses, they will go to hell. And their inclination towards Krishna cannot be aroused by their own endeavor or by someone else's help, or by their own, by a combination of both. They won't understand about Krishna because their senses are not controlled. That's why Rupa Goswami says in the beginning of Upadeshamrita, that's the beginning of his instructions, he says just control these urges, these six urges, Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. So if senses are not controlled, then there is no way we can enjoy or deal with the real problems. So when these materialists, sinful materialists, they face a misery, and if they are really impious, they become more sinful. Right? When something happens, big natural calamity, tsunami or this or that, they blame God. What God will do this? And they become more sinful. So that's the reaction of these materialists or impious materialists. Then some people have some spiritual concept. So they try to analyze little more. So second category is of the Buddhists. What do Buddhists do? They say, okay, there is misery in this world. This is vana. So let's get nirvana. Get out of this vana or the forest of misery. So material variety has brought us misery. So let's finish everything. So what they say, just make all material variety zero, then that's the perfection. But that's also, it's not very intelligent. It's partial understanding only, that yes, they have recognized that there is misery in this world, you cannot enjoy, but just entering the void is not possible. And little different is this another category of Mayavadis. Mayavadis also understand that material world is very miserable. Jagan Mithya, they say it's false, it's miserable. Brahma Satyam. And then they want to merge into the Brahman, and that's also just neglecting all material varieties. But only difference between Buddhis and Mayavadis is Buddhis think we'll finish material existence, become zero without life. But Mayavadis think we'll finish the material existence and all material varieties, but we will still exist. So that's with life. We'll make material life zero, but we will have spiritual life, and that's it. But that's also not complete, because it's only a transit position in the Brahma Jyoti. You have to go further. So that brings us to the real reaction that we should have towards material miseries, and that's exhibited by devotees. So devotees understand that yes, there is misery in this world, and when misery comes, because they are pious, they approach Lord for protection. So that's this verse of today's verse. So the ocean cried loudly as if praying to the Lord, O Lord of all sacrifices, please do not cut me in two. Kindly give me protection. So this is a real way to react to any problem. When a patient goes to doctor, he doesn't say, just kill me. Kill me. I have this problem, you kill me and then everything is finished. Sometimes actually it does happen. Because when something becomes intolerable, that's why people commit suicide. Because problems, material miseries bring so much pain, they end their life. But the real doctor says, I don't have to kill you. I just have to bring you to a healthy situation, healthy condition, like that. Actually, in December last year, I remember I had to go to emergency in Alfred Hospital for doing some tests, ultrasound. And then we had to wait because we went outside office hours in the evening. So we had to wait for the lady to come. So I was with Jayanithai Prabhu, and then we were waiting for a couple of hours in the emergency. And then suddenly we heard the shouts. So one young girl, they had brought her there. Probably she was overdosed with drugs. And she was shouting, let me die, let me die. And then there were like around 10 to 20 officials, medical professionals, they were trying to just catch hold of her. So she was saying that, just let me die, because the pain was so unbearable that she wanted to die. But the doctors there understood that, no, we just have to treat her and she can become happy and normal and healthy. So that's the real solution, that we have to come to our original spiritual position. Then we will be very satisfied. Otherwise, this material world is actually a test. It's very difficult to live here, because there will be some pinprick. Every day there will be some problem. There cannot be one day where things go our way. You know, there are some problems. So these small tests that comes in our life, that come in our life, are just to help us mature and advance spiritually. So that when the final test comes, we are ready for it. The final exam, right? The whole year you get assignments, midterm exams, small tests and online tests. But then at the end of the year, you get the final exam. So same way, this whole life we get these small tests here and there, disease, this, that, relationship problem, this, that. And then finally death comes. So death is the final exam. But then we have to be ready. So in Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami says that at the end of life, one should be fearless. He should not be afraid of death. He should have given up his attachment for his body and all the desires which are related to body. He should have given everything up. And that is the success of life. Because at the time of death, whole life comes in the mind very fast. Actually, I was discussing this point with Gauranga Prem Prabhu, who was visiting Melbourne for 1 week. Yesterday I was discussing with him and he told me a story of a devotee. A devotee's grandfather was about to leave body. And his grandfather was not a devotee. But when he was on his deathbed, he was kind of just sleeping all the time, and he was saying, I should have done it, like that. And then the devotee's grandmother asked, what are you thinking? He said, I should have hit him. And then she understood. What had happened was, his devotee's grandfather was a boxer. And in one fight, because they don't get much chance, if you lose half a second, you know, other person will hit you if you don't hit. So that's what happened in one crucial fight. He wanted to hit and probably he hesitated for half a second, and the other guy hit and he lost the fight, and his career pretty much finished after that. So at the time of death, he's thinking like that. That I should have hit him in that half a second. That's what he's thinking. So we don't know his future. Of course he'll get benefit because one of his grandson or granddaughter, I don't know about the devotee, was a devotee. So he'll get some benefit. But this is what happens at the time of death. These past things come in the mind. So what Shukdev Goswami says, that the success of human life is to remember Krishna at the time of death. So we have to practice throughout our life to remember Krishna. So Shukdev Goswami says, Etaman Sankhya Yoga Bhyam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janma Labha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. So Ante Narayana Smriti. At the time of death, you have to remember Narayana or Krishna. And that is Janma Labha Para. Labha means profit. What is the profit? What is the benefit that you get of this human birth? What is the topmost? Para Labha. Of this your human birth is that Ante Narayana Smriti. If you remember Krishna. So he says, by any process, Etavan Sankhya Yogavam, by Sankhya, if you analyze material world, there are Sankhya Yogis, there are Ashtanga Yogis, Swadharma Parinishtaya, if you follow Varnashram very properly, precisely. But at the end, you will get the final benefit if you can remember Krishna in the at the last moment. That is tested. That's the final test that will come, and we have to pass it. And Prabhupada often used to quote this Bengali proverb that Bhajan kar sadhan kar marte janala hai. Is that correct? Because it was not very clear in Veda Vyasa where I searched, devotees couldn't understand. Bhajan kar sadhan kar marte janale hai. What it means is. Sorry?
Yes, it's correct.
Okay. It's confirmed by a Bengali scholar. So, whatever bhajan you do, whatever sadhana you do, it will be tested at the time of death. We may pose as if, oh, you know, I'm a great devotee, great brahmachari, great sannyasi, perfect householder, doing so much sadhana, my bhajan is perfect. But when death comes, it will be tested. How you react at the time of death. So that's such a benefit for devotees that we know that we have to get prepared. Other people, they don't know. They're just carried away in the waves of material ocean. They're going here and there. They don't know how they are being carried. So for devotees, we can see that these miseries are coming and how we can actually try to advance in bhakti and assist devotees in serving Krishna. All devotees, we can say, you know, in ISKCON, all devotees, basically they are sincere to different degrees and they want to serve Krishna. That's why we come to this society. Now the challenging part is how to serve Krishna together. That's the challenging part. So we have to improve our relationships with devotees, and then the service to Krishna becomes very sweet. That's the real nectar in devotional service, to assist Krishna's pastimes in cooperation with other devotees. So we pray that this festival season, which is beginning with Jivran Yatra, we'll try to improve on our cooperation with other devotees to assist Krishna and Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. So I'll stop there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, we can always depend on you.
So you said to assist in Radha Krishna pastimes, so they are already going on.
Yes.
So how do you think we can assist?
Because Krishna is unlimited. So it's not that his pastimes are always going on, so he doesn't need us. Yes, he is Atmaram, he doesn't need anyone actually. He doesn't need even his spiritual associates, his Nitya Siddha devotees. Even if he's alone, he can be fully satisfied. But he has these various expansions to increase his pastimes. So, we are eternally Krishna's parts and we have a service toward Krishna which is very unique to us only. So, when we come here to material world because of our envy and pride, then Krishna is actually missing us. So, we can assist Krishna, we have a service to Krishna. And we can realize that service just by chanting Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna mantra is a Siddha mantra. It can reveal to us our original spiritual position. So we should always think that actually Krishna is seeing and reciprocating with us. So we, whatever service we do, Krishna recognizes that. So, and as we become more mature, we can see that how Krishna is reciprocating and how he is recognizing our service. So any service that we do is very tiny, whatever we do. Because if we consider, for example, if someone is a great preacher and he makes devotees, it's not easy to make even one devotee. You know, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, I think he used to say, you have to shed gallons of blood, you know, to make one devotee. But for example, there is a great preacher, he makes thousands of devotees, even millions of devotees, or he converts whole planet Earth, all the people into devotees. But this is very tiny. It's from Krishna's perspective, it's nothing. We are studying in our Bhakti Vaibhav the structure of the universe. So if you see, the planet Earth is just a tiny planet. It's like a speck of dust lying in the southern side of Jambudvip, which is just one of the dvipas in the Bhumandal. And if every living entity on that small tiny dust particle becomes devotee, from Krishna's perspective, in one sense, it's not big. But Krishna is so personal that even if someone makes one devotee, or he becomes himself a devotee, that's the main thing. We can at least make one devotee in this life, and that's ourselves. So if we do that, then Krishna is very happy.
So what you are highlighting is nimasa, you're free of envy.
That's correct.
Then only cooperation.
Yeah, and that's a very big challenge. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
At the time of death, when the person who is suffering from severe pain, how will he remember the Krishna?
Yes, so it's very difficult. That's why Prabhupada used to quote that prayer from Mukund Mala Stotra. Don't remember that. Gopavindesh Prabhu knows that prayer. Adyaiva Raja Hamsa, something like that.
Third line,
yeah. Yeah, so what Prabhupada was praying, that now my mind is very clear and I'm healthy. Let me leave my body now. So that actually devotee thinks like that. Because at the time of death, as you're saying, yes, mind will be very disturbed. And there will be mucus which will come. You won't be able to chant actually. You know, when in old age mucus comes in the throat is like choking and your vision is not well, your hearing power is not good. So how will we chant and remember Krishna? It's very difficult. So that's why that's the prayer of devotee, that I should dedicate now my all energies when I am healthy to Krishna. And then what Krishna does is that he forces himself in the mind of a devotee. Alone on our, with our skills we can't, our capabilities we cannot. So Krishna comes himself, he forces himself. So he can do anything because he is omnipotent. We don't have energy to remember him. Any other question or comment? Okay, so we finish there. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Go Premanande. Oh,